Hey guys, so before we hop into the It Ain't It Sis podcast for today, I wanted to give a huge shout out to Mezclaw for supporting this episode of the podcast. Mezclaw is taking the classic protein bar to a whole new level by combining food, art, and community. And each of their three delicious flavors are vegan, non-GMO, gluten-free, and packed with 10 grams of plant protein. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, so as someone who follows a gluten-free diet and tries to stay away from a lot of dairy as well, I love coming across protein bars like this because they not only taste amazing, but they're great for you too. So my favorite way to eat this is not only alone, but also what I've been doing in the morning is making a smoothie bowl and then kind of crumbling it on top of my smoothie bowl. It takes the place of granola. It's super, super yummy, and I highly recommend. In addition, they also have a QR code on each of the bars that is nestled into the artwork, so you can scan that and then discover new artists all around the globe within Mezclaw's constantly changing virtual gallery. So join the Mezclaw movement and get your free 3-bar trial at www.eatmezclaw.com. And if you want a 15% discount on your Mezclaw order, which I know you all do, make sure you use the code SH15 at www.eatmezclaw.com. This is the It Ain't It Sis podcast, a podcast where we focus on life's pivots and redirections, relationships, and becoming a boss babe. I'm your host, Sarah Whitney, and this is a space where honesty, humor, and a whole lot of sass collide. No one has it figured out. So it's completely fine if sometimes it ain't it, sis. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the It Ain't It Sis podcast. I'm Sarah Whitney, your host, and today, oh my gosh, we have an incredible episode for you guys. I mean, I know I always say that I feel like a broken record, but to be honest, this is one of my favorite podcast episodes I've ever made. I sat down with Allie Williams. So she is a podcaster, entrepreneur, marketeer. This girl has so much going on, but she is a little powerhouse. I think she mentioned to me that she was 5'1". And she just, honestly, she's so inspiring. She was on the I Love You So Much podcast with Kenzie Elizabeth, and that's actually how I found her. And a little funny story behind that. So I listened to the I Love You So Much podcast when I was back in Arizona a couple weeks ago, and honestly, her story is so incredibly amazing and powerful. And so I decided to DM her and just letting her know that I loved everything that she had to say, super inspiring, all of that jazz. And then, you know, she DM'd me back. And then, you know, I eventually ended up asking her to be on my podcast. And funny thing, I'm so not tech savvy. Like, someone please teach me how to use Instagram properly, because we were voice memoing back and forth. And you know how on iMessage, if you don't like the voice memo, you can just delete it and then it won't send. But apparently, if you are sending a voice memo on Instagram, it just automatically sends. You have to do something. I don't know how to, but you have to do something special in order to delete it and make sure it doesn't send. But you know, me, Sarah Humphrey, being the wise woman I am, I was on a beach walk, you know, listening to her podcast. It's called Right Up Your Alley. You all should go listen to it, subscribe, all that jazz. But I was listening to her podcast while I'm walking on the beach, and I'm like, you know what? Whatever. I'm just going to go DM her right now. So I sent her a voice memo, and I didn't like how I sounded. So, you know, I'm so used to editing my voice when I am podcasting. So I'm like, I literally say that in the voice memo, and it accidentally sent. And I was like, well, this is awkward. So I sent her a new one, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, but will you be on my podcast? And she said yes. So this, like, use this story as just a way for, you know, all those awkward people out there like myself, know that your awkwardness can actually benefit you. but I think all of you will absolutely love this episode. A lot of it is navigating through times of uncertainty. And then obviously we talk a little bit on, you know, entrepreneurship and all of that as well. But I think, you know, this is an important episode to listen to because, you know, at 2020, it's dealt us all a hand that, you know, we didn't see coming. We've all faced some kind of more or less trauma to a certain extent. And so I think, you know, listening to people's stories and just seeing how other people have overcome their hardships, I think that's one of the best ways, honestly, to build a sense of community and really begin to, you know, empathize with other people. I mean, especially in this day and age, a lot of people aren't necessarily interacting with others like we once did. So I would highly suggest for anyone who kind of feels lost in life to go listen to some podcasts, go read some books. Honestly, community is out there if you seek it. And it can be kind of scary sometimes, but I just want to say, know that you can always DM me, join an engagement group, DM some of my podcast guests that I've had in the past, all super friendly, wonderful women. And community is out there if you really seek it. So that was just my little spiel about, you know, navigating uncertainty, but you're definitely in for a treat. And in terms of my personal life update, I know I did not upload a podcast last week. You know, September, it took me for a wild ride. It really did. I was gone every single weekend, like driving. So the first weekend I was camping, second weekend I drove back home to Arizona. The next weekend after that, I drove back to California. Then the weekend after that, I went up to kind of the central coast of California to do like a little girls' weekend with some of my friends, which was super fun. But, you know, all of that, I've been driving at least 8 hours every single weekend. And so podcasting, it just didn't happen. And that's okay. And I am showing myself the grace for that. And now we're back on track and I am refreshed and ready to go and ready for October. And I know I also kind of mentioned some things happening with my job and, you know, potentially making a career switch. And, you know, I didn't get the job that I wanted this past Monday, I found out. I, you know, really am looking to, you know, switch industries that I'm working in. I am very grateful for the job I have, especially that I got a job out of, you know, college in quarantine and basically in a really huge recession. I'm so grateful for that. But, you know, I do want to make, you know, a career switch relatively soon because what I want to be doing is marketing, PR, all that jazz, social media. And for those careers, you have to have a certain number of years of experience in order to move up the ladder, which anyone kind of going into that field who is also struggling, oh my gosh, I feel you so hard, but it's okay. We can get through this. And when I found out that I didn't get this job, I was really confused. And also, this podcast episode kind of came in divine timing because this confusion that I had really just kind of lifted up after I talked to Allie. So thankful that I was able to record this episode. But I've been feeling a lot of confusion around my life and I know my goals. I know what I want to do. I just don't know how I'm going to get there. And I feel really frustrated. And so thankfully, you know, this past week, it's crazy how things can really turn around. On Monday, I found out I didn't get the job. On Thursday and like over the weekend, I found out about a couple, you know, exciting opportunities that potentially might happen. So I'll keep you updated like I always do with my weekly updates for this podcast. And that is literally all I have to say. If you are confused with what your, you know, where your life is going, it's completely fine. I am there right now, but I think the main thing is as long as you know where you want to go, trust God, trust the universe. It's okay. You got this, girlfriend and guy, if you're listening. And I hope you enjoyed this episode. Hopefully it will, you know, clear up some confusion that you have, you know, surrounding your life and all of that. But enough of me rambling. Let's get into the episode. Well, today, guys, we have a very, very special guest. Welcome Allie Williams to the podcast.
Oh my gosh, thank you for having me. And I am honored to be introduced as special. I'm just really honored to be here.
Oh no, I'm so excited. For those of you who don't know, I actually slid into Allie's DMs a few different times because I listened to the I Love You So Much podcast by Kenzie Elizabeth, but I listened to it and I listened to her story, and so amazing, so inspiring. So if you guys haven't listened to that podcast episode, definitely go listen to it. But I slid into her DMs asking her in kind of an awkward way, might I add. I think I know I stumbled over my words. I accidentally, you know, when you're sending someone a voice memo and then you're like, oh, I don't like how I sound, like exit out of it, try to delete it. But obviously I don't know how to use technology. So I was like, oh, oops.
No, that's okay. I listened to it and you said that, and then you were like, okay, so that was awkward. I was like, girl, you just did the dang thing. You could, it doesn't have to be in style. We just got to show up, right?
Yeah, life is all about showing up. So that's what I did.
Amen. You showed up and we're here, and it was effective as heck. And I liked you more because you were like, oh my God, I didn't mean to say it like that. And I was like, nope, you're human. I'm human. I have now imprinted on you. Please stay forever.
Oh, thank you. Well, if you could, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself? Tell us what you're all about and all that good stuff.
Yeah, big question. My name is Allie Williams, and I currently live in Los Angeles, Santa Monica area. I am born and raised in the South in Kentucky. I was born in Florida, moved around, lived in California until almost the end of middle school, and then my parents divorced, so I was relocated to Kentucky for high school and for college, which was a very shocking transition. From there, I ended up doing, like I said, school in Kentucky, went to UK, go Cats, and was really confused about what God was doing, about who I was. And it was in those questions that I found some answers that I followed to San Francisco. I did entrepreneurship school there after a really crazy God-ordained crowdfunding campaign. And then once I finished that program, moved to Scottsdale, lived in a Harry Potter closet, literally under the stairs of one of my friends that I had met as we worked on building our first business. And then from there, learned a lot of lessons and then moved to LA to work for Christine Kane at A21 after some time there. I was offered a promotion and I turned it down and went back into my roots, which are in social media. And now I own a agency called Malibu Social and work with influential people on raising their voice and their digital presence. And I coach a lot of incredible women. I come in as a life coach and a business coach for people who are just doing new things, especially in the digital world. And then I have a podcast and a digital brand that I'm learning to nurse and take care of because God's given me a pretty cool story.
Wow, you are definitely, you know, a woman of many talents and you are a powerhouse. I don't know how you do it, but it's amazing.
It's not in style. It's just jump. You just do it like we were saying, and it all lands some way or another.
Yeah, well, I want to kind of start a lot of your story behind it. And I want to kind of start with your journey to San Francisco. And, you know, I listened obviously to a few of your podcast episodes, and you mentioned how you used a GoFundMe campaign and you used that as a way to get yourself to San Francisco for an entrepreneurship program. What was like the backstory behind that and getting yourself basically across the country?
Yeah. Woo. Oh my gosh, there's so many elements. Jeez, we're just going to see what parts come out. Because again, it's such a big story and it's so much bigger than me. And I think even before I dive in, I want to say, like, I'm 5'1", so I'm little and I'm fiery, and I'm just a Southern girl with like a really, really big heart for people. And I think that was really obvious through everything that I did. And that is what allowed God to like bless it the way that he has. And that being said, the crowdfunding campaign. So really what happened was I took a fifth year in college. I was so confused as to what I was supposed to do. And I had, you know, done it all right always. I was always like lovely and perfect and showed up and was who everyone needed me to be in whatever form, and was very good at that. And I started to feel really unfulfilled and very lost. I think I'd always felt that, but then it started to register. And after some really deep therapy and like looking in inward and inside of myself after recovering from an eating disorder and having like this cycle of like people coming in my life and then like it not going well. Like I would have friends and then like something would happen and it wouldn't work. And so it was between the eating disorder and that I was like, there's something broken here. Like, is it me? Am I not showing up well? Like, what's going on, Ellie? So anyway, it was in that, you know, on my way to law school, really excited and learning that like I didn't know who I was or what I wanted to be because I'd never had space to ask myself that question. So as I started to ask that question, that's when things started to come up and I realized, wait, I don't want this path. It's a sexy path. It checks all the boxes. It sounds really great, especially in Kentucky. Usually you're only wealthy if you're like a doctor or a lawyer. And I like nice things. So I was like, well, if I want the things I want, I got to do that. I just realized like, wow, I don't like this. So by really allowing myself that space and that time and those questions, I gave myself a fifth year, which was really hard being a perfectionist. And I started to study ISC, which is Interstrategic Communication, as well with my political science degree. And I realized like, wow, maybe I want to be an entrepreneur. And the only reason that I really realized that was because I had so many jobs. I had 3 like full-time internships, essentially. I literally did not sleep. That is the busiest I've ever physically been in my entire life. I would like wake up at 6 a.m. and I would get home. And like, I remember like washing my face and I was like trying to scrub my face so quickly so that I could literally sprint from the bathroom to my bed because I was so tired at like 11 p.m. And I'm juggling classes and like these dream internships. I was working for Coca-Cola. I was doing all these things and I was doing them like really well because I was good at following directions. I was good at like, if you gave me a bar, I would do more than it and I would do it in the way that didn't make sense. So if you give me a syllabus, I will avoid the syllabus and I will go my own way and then we'll come into like, you know, like somehow the same destination, but I did it again, falling with style. So it was like by doing that in all these different ways that I realized like, wow, I'm really bad at following directions, but I'm really good at beating people. That, where can I use that, right? And I realized, okay, entrepreneurship. So working with Coca-Cola, I did that and I put on this viral campaign. It was freaking crazy. And I like honestly just put this idea together, sent it to my executive at Coca-Cola. She was like, well, yeah, we can give you like $500. And I ended up turning it into like a 300,000 person like campaign over 7 days. It went all over the US. It was crazy. And it was the first thing that Coke had ever seen that was like actually leveraging the attention and like interaction of people. So they put me on a conference circuit and that kind of allowed me to understand like, oh, I'm good at social media. So then I used that knowledge that I use for Coke and I did that for my crowdfunding campaign. It was through the realization of, okay, people want to be seen, heard, and held, and people want to believe in something. And maybe I should ask God for direction. It was like those 3 pillars that I kind of leaned into. And he really told me, you know, do this entrepreneurship program. Like I kept praying about it. It kept not going away. I didn't know what to do. My parents both totally said no. And though it, you know, I was still people pleasing at that point. So even when they were like disciplining me and like, no, just be normal. Just take the job at Coke. Just be normal. You know, fighting that kind of gave me the answer. And it was 72 hours before I was supposed to leave for San Francisco. I didn't have the $8,000 I needed, didn't have a plane ticket, didn't have any idea what the heck was going on with my life. And my parents had both said just like, no. My dad told me to get an effing job and be effing normal like the rest of the effing world. And my, like, literally, like, verbatim. And I was like, okay, that wasn't very helpful, so goodbye. And my mom just, like, cried when I talked about it. She's like, I just want you to stay close and be normal. This normal, quote unquote. Like, what does that mean, right? And I went to see a mentor. And I essentially was like, Terry, it's not gonna happen. You know, I was, like, sitting there eating Chewy's chips and the jalapeno ranch they have there. It's so good. Highly recommend if you've never had that.
I've had it and it's actually so good.
It's so good. Oh my gosh. I could literally drink it. So I was like sitting there at her kitchen table slurping in all of this like jalapeno stuff. And I was just like not talking. And she's like, what's going on? And I was like, I can't go. And she was like, until you give it an Allie Williams try, get out of my house. And I was like, what do you mean? You know, what? I'm sorry, Terry. What do you mean? And she's like, get out of my house. I'm doing this because I love you. You still have time. And until you show up for the thing that God has put on your heart, you don't have a place here. You do it and it doesn't happen, come here and cry for the next 3 weeks and we're gonna make another plan. But he can't bless you unless you show up. And so it was in that moment that when I was literally driving on like the Bluegrass Highway, like 11 o'clock at night. I used the admission video. I threw it on a GoFundMe platform. I put $8,000, you know, as the goal. And I put in the bio, there's a disparity in the opportunity for women in the South versus women in the West and in New York City. And I'm going to go figure out how they do what they do. And I'm going to bring it back here because we all deserve the same amount of opportunity. And it was with that and that video that it went viral. And I mean, I knew social before it was like cool to know social. I knew how to share. I knew, you know, what to do. I was like emailing all of these people. Like Tori Burch emailed me back and was like, you go, girl, you know, call me when you have your company, you know, and I will. I'm building it right now. And one day she will, I'm sure, invest. And, you know, it was, I know how to ask for help. And I wasn't, you know, I know how to ask people to believe with me. God had taught me that. And so that crowdfunding campaign was one of the first things I ever did to show that I believed in myself and I, you know, believed in him fully. And you know, in 72 hours, I had a plane ticket. The chief of staff from the University of Kentucky bought me a plane ticket and really blessed me. And then I had everything that I needed to, you know, step on campus for the entrepreneurship program. And, you know, it was insane. And I ended up being like best in class at the end of it. It was really crazy. And God totally had his hand on all of it. And it taught me so much about myself and gave me so much space to understand what that meant, to think for myself. And the rest really is history.
Oh, wow. That's such a God story. Like right there, it's insane. And I know you kind of touched also, and we've touched on it a few times already, that just showing up is half the battle. And also asking for help, I think, is so important. That I think a lot of women also, I think we're taught just in society that, you know, we should kind of zip our lips and do what we're told. And I, for one, you know, I'm not very good at taking direction. So that's why I think I'm definitely more of an entrepreneur. So what would you say for women who really struggle with kind of speaking up for themselves and kind of going after their dreams because they're afraid of, I don't know, what their parents are going to say or what their friends are going to say or coaches or all of that? What would be your biggest piece of advice for people who are struggling to speak up for themselves?
Great question. I think one, I just want you to know that your biggest fear, you can either feed that or you can feed the faith, you know? And I think fear is just the absence of faith, mm-hmm. because really when you're really leaning into the faith, the fear is still there. It's still like, are you sure? Right? But the faith is so much stronger and it has like this thing that won't go away with it. Are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure? The things that won't leave your mind, that won't leave your heart, there's a reason they're sticking around. So listen. And, you know, when it comes to stepping out and following your dreams and, you know, being the person that you're supposed to be, it just, you have to just do it. You're never going to be ready. You're never going to feel fully equipped. You're never going to know all the details. And there's a reason, right? Like if you had all of the answers and all of the details and the whole action plan, then there wouldn't be a refining process and sanctification within it. And I think all of the things that we feel we want to do in life, those are the paths that are going to allow us to be the people we're supposed to be. So it comes down to giving yourself permission. Give yourself permission to be afraid and still do it. Give yourself permission to be courageous. And I mean, give yourself permission to be who you are. And I mean that in a way too. Like, I don't ever want you to hurt yourself. You know, I want you to do obviously what's best for you. I want you to honor the woman that you were created to be. So when you're moving out of a place for that, I am on your team and I'm for you. When you're moving in a place of people pleasing, seeking permission from someone else, hurting yourself or degrading yourself in order to fit in a box that doesn't feel right, those things I don't advocate for. So you have to be a big advocate for yourself.
I know you mentioned that faith over fear is definitely, you know, the way to go. And my favorite quote that I've heard actually recently is, you can still have faith with the presence of doubt. And that's something I've currently been saying, because I think I'm in a season of my life, you know, I just graduated college and trying to make a career move, if you can even call it that, because it's only been 3 months into my job. But I think I'm going through a time of a lot of stress, mm-hmm. and I'm trying to remind myself that, you know, fear can always be present, but you just want to make sure that the faith is stronger. Mm-hmm, and so that's like one thing I'm really trying to focus on. And I know also, kind of going back to your story as well, you spent some time, you know, after you were in San Francisco in Scottsdale, Arizona. I'm actually originally from Scottsdale, what? Which I found interesting. I know. How did you like it?
I love that. That's so fun. Well, to your point about the doubt being present, as an yes and amen. And, you know, whoever is listening to this right now, I just want you to know that it doesn't take courage to be perfect. It doesn't take courage to do anything extremely well. It takes courage mm-hmm. to just do it, right? With whatever you have right now in this moment, with the doubt, with the fear. So I love that so much, Sarah. And then regarding Scottsdale, you know, when I was there, I hated it because it was...
I didn't like it either.
Okay, no. Cool. You're I not was like, me. Get me out of here. I thought it was so That's creepy how perfect it was. I was like, this isn't the real world, people. Like, this is, you can't just, like, parking isn't free everywhere. And, like, people don't all have plastic surgery. And, you know, and those are so many generalizations. But being
No, but Kentucky, it's so true. Yeah. Everyone wears, like, the moms are all wearing their Lululemon getup with, honestly, you know, all the plastic surgery. I mean, nothing wrong with plastic surgery, but, no. like, everyone has it. And, like, in the yeah. real world, like, not many people do.
Totally. Absolutely. Yeah. And it was so crazy being there and resenting it. And now going back, you know, living in LA, I'm like, oh, this is a sweet haven. And I understand why people get vacation homes here. And I understand why people, you know, I guess raise children in the Valley area. It's not for me, but you know, God bless it. And it taught me, I feel like it was like my starter pack from SF, Kentucky and San Francisco. Really going to Scottsdale, like that was my starter pack for LA because now nothing shocks me here. Whereas if I just come to LA, I would have been like, what is going on? You know, where I came here and I was like, oh, okay, cool. There's just like more money here.
Yeah. I mean, I would say Arizona is definitely like that. It's an interesting place to be. I always say it's kind of a mixture between California and Texas totally. Because if you go, you know, outside of, I guess, the metropolitan area of Phoenix, like you see cowboys. I would always at least. It's definitely grown more since, you know, I've been there and grown up there, but it's definitely an interesting place.
Oh, I totally.
Plan on never moving back.
Yeah, no, it's not like good for them, not for me, but loved it. It grew me a lot, like I said. And yeah, I can get down for some Texas. I can get down for some California, but I like need them separated too.
Yeah, I definitely need it separated. So that's why, you know, I like staying here in California. And I know when you moved to LA, you did some marketing for A1 Ministries mm-hmm. for Christine Kane. I love her. She's amazing. Mm-hmm. And I know after, you know, that little kind of stint or, you know, job ended with them, you went to Hawaii because mm-hmm. from what, you know, I gathered, you know, listening, doing my research, you mentioned that you went there because, you know, you were really lost and trying to find yourself and you did a lot of self-reflection. I can only imagine. So what are some things that really helped you through that process of coping and during that time of uncertainty?
Yeah, gosh, I feel like I've gone through quite a few seasons of this, honestly. Hawaii was a moment. Like that was a time, and I've gone twice. It has been like my safe place twice. Once when I lived in Scottsdale, actually, after like having a breakup from someone who just wasn't for me. I like literally bought a plane ticket and left the next day. And then after A21 and just figuring out what to do. And I had this weird moment when I was there, just being like, I don't understand what you want me to do, God. You know, like it's not clear. Like I've given my whole life to you and I've taken so many courageous jumps, but like, what's our day to day, you know? And I would say Hawaii is such a healing place. Obviously, I, you know, would say being able to go in any like healing still place and contemplate and ask and wrestle with God is such a blessing. And like, I definitely knew in that moment that that was something that was, I would always look back and be thankful for it, you know, but I would say just being able to create that space. And a lot of the things I was contemplating and questions came down to like, who am I and what am I here to do? You know, and I think so often we crave our why, we crave our mission, we crave our goals and our objectives. And so often, you know, it's like, what do I do? But we have to remember that like, it's not about us. So give yourself the space and the grace of like, what can I do with my life that's going to honor myself, my body, my purpose, my soul, that's going to be an expression of what the kingdom can do here, right? So it was a really, really sweet time for that. I love reading the Bible. I remember being like a new Christian and hearing people talk about the Bible and I was like, we get it. You're a good Christian, you know, and that was like an ugly part of my heart, but it was real, right? And now I, as an entrepreneur and as a speaker and as a podcaster and as someone who will have a very public life always, I have realized that the most intimate thing in my entire existence, the thing that gives me more information than any best-selling book or any incredible podcast or any amazing mentor or mastermind group is going to be the Bible. It's my time with Jesus and every single lesson that we can learn, because I think everything we encounter here in the world is a mirror that's going to let us learn. Everything we can learn is right here in front of us in those words. And I think Hawaii taught me that. Like, Hawaii gave me space and grace to realize, like, I want to be Allie Williams. I don't want to keep chasing the idea of her. And then from that, like, I know that God wants me to do that too. Like, there's a reason he's positioned me this way. From Hawaii on, it became this big time of absorbing. And I believe we have discovery zones and recovery zones. I talked about this on the I Love You So Much podcast. But, you know, when you're discovering, you're out and you're learning and you're absorbing and you're, you know, connecting and you're doing all these things. And then you can't do that forever. You have to have moments where you sit and you reflect and you recover and you turn the observations into lessons that you can apply to your day-to-day life. And Hawaii really allowed me to kick off, like, one, the recovery that ended up being a year of recovering the lessons and the gems that came from the 2 years before, from just sprinting and running and living these outward miracles that I shared, you know, openly after my crowdfunding campaign. And then the way I processed them was through reading the word and through understanding, like, God's character. And so many moments of my life that I had, like, left with a question mark, they all made sense eventually, you know, being able to read through the New Testament and understand, like, who and what God is. And it all became real. And I think, you know, that was probably the highlight of Hawaii: space, grace, and understanding, like, who God is and who he created me to be.
Yeah, no, that's so good. And I loved how you kind of mentioned the fact that, you know, why am I doing this? Like, why am I living my life? Is it for me or is it for kind of a greater purpose? And that's something I've personally struggled with in the past. Just, am I trying to fulfill this idea that I have for myself, just purely based on, I guess, society's construction of, you know, how I'm quote unquote supposed to be. Yep. And so that's one thing I've had to also wrestle with. And, you know, I am also a Christian, so I love spending time with God. And I think it's so important just to kind of find that stillness too. I think that's something our human soul craves. Mm-hmm. And when we're running around, you know, it feels like, I mean, I feel like this often, probably more than the average person, like a chicken with its head cut off. And so I think just finding that stillness and being able to really rest in just the presence of God and know that he made you to do so much more than just kind of strive, because I think also we're taught to just strive all the time. And that's gets so exhausting. And I mean, I am a perfectionist. I'm a 3 on the Enneagram. I'm not sure if you really have taken the Enneagram test, but I really love to burn myself out. So that's one thing and one lesson I'm really learning. But yeah, I loved everything that you just touched on right now as well. And I know, kind of going into this season of life with coronavirus, and, you know, you are a business owner, you have so many, you know, things on your plate. How have you been able to apply those lessons that you learned last year, a few years ago, to just running your businesses now?
Yeah, I would say two big lessons just came to the forefront when COVID hit. One, that God can make anything good. And I learned that, you know, that's something you learn. I feel like all Christians are like, oh, God can make anything good. But I learned over those 2 years that even the biggest mistakes that I have made and the things and the pitfalls that I've experienced, even God and, you know, my faithfulness to him could turn those into the most powerful parts of me and of my story and of my mission. So as soon as COVID hit, at first I was like, what is going on? I don't know. And then, you know, after I was like, okay, this is going to be here a while. I just knew, like, wow, this is big. This is life altering and God can make that good. So I can't wait to see how that plays out, you know, and how that promise comes to fruition. And it was really cool. Like, I only felt fear for COVID probably like 2 months ago. And that was just in transitions for business, just because it was real. But the whole time it was so cool because I was like, I've been through worse, you know, in my own world in those times, mm-hmm. that like I felt super unshakable. And then again, being, you know, that LA isn't going to go back to normal for a long time. You know, like realizing that probably 2 months ago, I was like, wow, okay, God. And it wasn't even a stress. It was like, should I go? Is my time up here? You know? And it's not. So it's just, you know, leaning into this and his truth. And I loved that realization too. Like, I felt super blessed and favored to have gone what I went through in order to stand in like a lot of courage now. I would say that. And then I would say that in addition to him making all things good, that like, honestly, it is in the hardest circumstances and situations that the most powerful people rise. So when this started to happen, I was like, oh my gosh, that, and this sounds so like sick almost, but I was like so jazzed because I was like, I know this is when I flip the script with God. I have felt behind. I have learned some big lessons. And I know that this is going to shake up the world, but I know exactly what I'm doing, who I am, and why I'm here. And there is nothing that can stop me, and nothing has. And this has been an incredible year for me. It's been heart-wrenching. I miss my mom in Kentucky. You know, there are so many things. And, you know, I have lost revenue for my businesses and different things, but it's nothing devastating. And all of it has served me because I know who I serve, you know? And I just think COVID, like, allowed me to kind of lean into that even more. And it didn't make it comfortable. It didn't make it fun, but through it, it made it more clear and it made me more powerful. And I know that we're all just getting started. And I know that I'm not alone in feeling that. There are a lot of other people who are leaning in right now, who even when it doesn't feel like you're leaning in, if you are frozen in fear and laying in your bed and eating ice cream every day, there's an opportunity for you to understand who and what God is and how he can use and move you. And in that realization, your life can and will be changed no matter if it's COVID or not. And it's that power that kind of like really shook up 2020 for me. And I know this will be the year that everything changed until I, you know, go to heaven. This will be the year phase one of Allie Williams really set in then.
Oh, that's so beautiful, everything you just said. And I completely agree with, during hard times, that's when leaders are truly born, because that's what I felt too. And I was actually thinking about this, I think yesterday when I was working out. For some reason, that's when I do all of my, you know, thinking.
Yep.
When I was doing the jump rope. Totally. And I was just having these thoughts of just about, I think 2 years ago in 2018 was when I went through one of the hardest seasons of my life. I've been through a couple, you know, valleys, I guess you can say, but that was a really difficult time in my life. And I didn't know what was going on, but I'm so glad that happened then, because if 2018 Sarah Humphrey was in the present right now, she wouldn't know what to do. I would absolutely lose it. So that's why I'm so grateful that, you know, I had those really rough patches. So now I can be in this moment. And yeah, it's not fun. It's not fun for anyone, COVID or just financial troubles, finding a job, friends getting sick, family getting sick, all of that. But I'm really, really thankful for just everything and the faithfulness of, you know, God to get me through that time period. But I loved everything you said, and I completely agree.
And I think just really wrapping that part up too, like I take these, one of my biggest parts of my business, so I am a coach and a communicator, but then I also have like this full stack digital agency. And before I work with anyone, I take them through this process, and it's defining their why, it's defining their mission statement, it's defining their objective. And all of that starts with, when was the first time you felt the goosebumps and let you know that you were going to do something? And I think every single one of us, every person on this earth can think about the first time in their life when they were like, I'm going to do that. I was meant for that. Like, oh, I just felt those goosebumps, you know, and like that hope is real, that God is real, all of that. And we always cultivate that as like the root and the foundation of the mission of what I build for them and what I build with them. And it is in the hardest moments of our lives. Often those, if we push through and we persevere, those become the future goosebump moments for the people who listen to our stories. And people miss that, right? No client, these incredible people who've changed the world, who do like crazy things that you look up to on social media, in the market, everywhere, they all will, when I ask that question, talk about one of the hardest times in their life when they saw the glimmer of hope in it. And so wherever you are listening right now, whatever season you're in, just know that if you persevere and you commit to the person you were created to be, that that is going to be the moment that shifts everything for the people who listen to you once you've finished and done what you're supposed to do.
That's so good. So I guess moving on to our last kind of point, you kind of touched on it, honestly, with this last point that you made, but what's one piece of advice for young women or young entrepreneurs who kind of feel this calling on their life and, you know, they feel stuck, they feel like the doors aren't opening them for them and they really just are covered in confusion, don't know what to do. What would you tell them right now?
Yeah, I would say first, there are two parts. One, I need you to believe in yourself more than anyone else. And it doesn't always feel natural and it doesn't always feel easy, but you deserve that. You deserve to be your own fan and you deserve to see your own magic before other people might see it. So that is mission numero uno, girlfriend. Look at your magic, acknowledge it, and live into it. And then beyond that, understand that you're never going to feel ready. There are moments when Oprah does not feel ready. So give yourself permission to not feel ready and to do it anyway.
Mm-hmm. So good. I know. One of my favorite, I guess, influencers, you can call her. Her name is slipping my mind right now, but she has a huge podcast and a pretty big following, but she always says ready is a lie.
Mm-hmm. And Angie Lee,
that's the name. Yes. So true. And I 100% agree. You're never going to be ready. Ready is a lie at the end of the day.
Absolutely. Amen. But you are not.
Mm-hmm. I know. Yep. Exactly. Well, thank you so much, Allie, for coming on the podcast. I absolutely loved having you. It was so inspirational. And honestly, this was the pickup I needed today because, you know, today was a little bit of a lull, but.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a shift happening. So thank you for having me. And I can't wait to see, the wakes that you make. And anyone listening, just keep going.
Perfect. Well, where can everyone find you on social media and all of that jazz?
Yeah. So my name is Allie Williams, A-L-L-E. You can find me at writeupyouralley.com. I have a podcast, Write Up Your Allie. We're dropping a really huge season beginning of November. So stay tuned. Go subscribe for sure now. And you can definitely go through the whole season with me. And then I have a website, which is the same, writeupyouralley.com.
Amazing. Perfect. Everyone go follow Allie. And thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Oh my gosh, thank you for having me.
And that is the episode for today, guys. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Be sure to follow Allie on all of the socials. I'll link it, as always, down in the show notes below. And of course, follow me on Instagram, subscribe to the podcast, listen every week, tell your friends, tell your mom, tell your dad, tell your brother, tell your cousin. Tell everyone about it. Come on. We need the word out, people. Help a girl out. But I hope you guys have a beautiful, beautiful week. Remember, you are stronger than you know, and life is a very beautiful thing. So go out and live it. That is another one of my very cheesy outros, but you know what? You're welcome. Love you all. Talk to you next week. Bye, guys.